Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we observe the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord, which actually falls tomorrow on January 6th, we give attention to that word epiphany, which, as we mentioned, is not really a word that we use very frequently today in the English language. The word epiphany means an appearance or a revelation. And so on the festival of the Epiphany of our Lord, and also during the Sundays that follow after the festival of the Epiphany, we focus on some aspect of the person or the work of Jesus being revealed, being shown forth and being revealed to all people. The fact that Jesus is not only a true human being, but that he is also fully God. And so he shows that in his miracles and in his powerful teaching of God's word. He reveals that he is the Savior of the world, the Savior that God had promised to his Old Testament people for thousands of years before this time, that he reveals himself now, as we see in the gospel reading. The festival of the Epiphany has also traditionally been called the Festival of Lights, because it also celebrates Jesus being revealed as the light of the world. And so in some parts of the world, in some parts of the worldwide Christian church, they have traditionally celebrated the festival of the Epiphany by an abundance of light and candles and just general rejoicing in God's fulfilling his promise to send the Savior. Well, today we have opportunity, especially as we look at this prophecy from Isaiah in chapter 60, to be reminded of that truth, that Jesus is the light of the world, and to focus on that true light that Jesus brings to us and to the whole world. As we think about our own lives and what light and darkness often symbolize, that they have a generally also throughout the Bible have a deeper meaning than just the physical, visible presence or absence of light. We've all experienced what it is to be running out of light, where hope and joy grow dim in our lives. We live in the shadow of deadening and mind-numbing routine, sometimes of doubt that creeps into our mind as we face some challenge or difficulty in our lives, especially in these days and weeks after we've passed the high point of Christmas, and that the glitter of the holiday begins to wear off, and once again we face those same old routines. We need the refreshment of the true light that Jesus brings. The shine of the tinsel and the decorations quickly fades. The flashing lights of the world's view of Christmas celebration quickly fade and are past. The homecomings that are frequently associated with our Christmas celebrations are now over. And now the pressures and the schedules of the work routine and of our regular daily lives are all now coming back into place. And so what joy there is for us to hear now this message from Isaiah. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Let's put ourselves for a moment in the shoes and the places of those people who were living at the time of Isaiah, at the time he spoke those words, and shortly after his lifetime. Earlier in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah had prophesied God's judgment upon the people of Israel. God's judgment because of their sinfulness, because of their unfaithfulness to him as their God. How they had gone after the false gods of the peoples around them and worshiped those false gods instead of worshiping the only true God, who was the only God that had ever done anything real for them. Who was the God who had created them and the whole world and the universe, who had rescued them from slavery in Egypt and brought them to the promised land and blessed them so richly. But so often they had turned away from him. And so God prophesied through Isaiah and through other prophets that judgment would come upon the people as a result of their unfaithfulness. And eventually, God did bring about that judgment. In fact, he brought judgment on his people multiple times by sending invaders from the nations surrounding them to conquer them, to oppress them, to turn them back to rely only on him, the one true God. But ultimately, Isaiah prophesies a judgment that was brought to fulfillment by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, when he came and destroyed and conquered all of Judea. He destroyed the holy city of Jerusalem and the holy temple of God, which was in Jerusalem. Isaiah prophesied this also in chapter 64 of his book of prophecy, saying, "Zion is a desert, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and glorious temple, where our fathers praised you, has been burned with fire, and all that we treasured lies in ruin." And so for the Jewish people who were living at the time when those words of prophecy were fulfilled, just 100 or so years after Isaiah wrote these words, when they were living in the midst of that destruction, in the midst of being conquered by that oppressive, unbelieving foreign nation of Babylon, it could very easily have seemed to the people living at that time as if God had abandoned his people, as if God had turned his back on all the promises that he had made to them and to their forefathers, that the Savior of the world would come through the people of Israel. But that's why the words of the prophecy in our reading today in Isaiah chapter 60 are so comforting. Because even though destruction was also prophesied in the near future, God, through Isaiah the prophet, also prophesied that after destruction would come God's salvation. And so Isaiah prophesies and speaks of God coming and his salvation coming as the light of the rising sun shining on people who had been living in darkness. And so Zion, the city of Jerusalem, and all of God's people, their destruction and their poverty is replaced with restoration and even with wealth, as we see in the words of this reading. And this epiphany, this revelation or appearance of God's salvation, Isaiah prophesies, is also not just restricted to God's own people of Israel, but rather that light shines radiantly, and all the nations of the earth will see that light of God's salvation, will be drawn to come to that light. Now, as we hear the words of this prophecy, of course, for us who also know how God ultimately fulfilled his promise of salvation through the birth of the Savior Jesus, very easy for us to see and to pick out those connections between this prophecy of Isaiah and how God ultimately fulfilled that prophecy by sending the light of his son Jesus into the world amidst the darkness of those circumstances in which Jesus was born. Jesus, true God himself, is born there in a lowly stable. There in the darkness of that night of the Judean countryside in the little town of Bethlehem, lowly shepherds welcomed their exposure to that light of God's love and salvation as they followed the angel's message and went and found a different kind of king than what they might have been expecting. A king who was not born with all the trappings of the imperial palace and royalty, but who was born in a humble stable with a manger, a feeding trough for animals as his bed. And as we saw in the gospel reading for today, wise men from the east, from foreign countries, were also drawn to that light of God's salvation. Led by the brightness of that miraculous star that God put in the sky to reveal to them that the Savior had been born, these wise men bring their gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. They welcomed the light of this newborn king, the Savior of the world. They find in this birth, in the birth of that average-looking baby, yet by revelation from God's Spirit, they find cause to rejoice and to worship this newborn king for who he truly is, the Savior of the world. Even though he appeared to most people to be just an average, ordinary baby. But in contrast to these children of light who hear this good news from God and who believe it and who rejoice to see the fulfillment of God's promise, yet we also see King Herod, whose exposure to the light of Jesus, instead of causing him to rejoice and to worship and to thank God for sending the Savior and fulfilling his promise, instead it stirs up in his heart anger and jealousy and causes him to plot out how he can remove this threat to his own political power. As we see, although he was informed by the chief priests and the teachers of the law about God's promises of the Savior and where the Savior would be born, yet he resisted that message of light, more concerned about himself and about retaining his own position and the privileges that it brought for himself, even though, of course, he was mistaken in his understanding of who this newborn king was. But yet he plots out bloodshed and violence. And that's something that, tragically, in our world today, we are all too familiar with. Even if the violence and bloodshed has perhaps not touched us or our immediate relatives directly, yet we see its effects all around us and probably touching the lives of those that we know and care about. The world that we live in today is a world that, tragically, as we saw in the gospel last week, after Herod carried out his murderous plot, it fulfilled the word of the prophet about Rachel weeping for her children because they are no more. And we see that played out. The hands of violent and evil people who have been controlled by the darkness of sin in their hearts and that pervades the world around us today. We know that darkness of sin and of the devil's temptation is never far from any one of us. As Isaiah writes, "Darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness covers the peoples." Really, in those words, Isaiah is diagnosing a problem that is so deeply lodged within the hearts of all people. By our sinful human nature that we have inherited from all the way from our first ancestors, Adam and Eve, there is that part of us, of our hearts, the sinful nature that prefers darkness to the light. It's easier for our sinful nature to live and to stay in that darkness instead of coming into the light of God's love. This is exactly what Jesus himself talked about when he spoke to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, just after he gave to Nicodemus that wonderful summary of the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He continued to tell Nicodemus that tragically, not all people will receive with joy this message of God's love and salvation, and he explains why. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. For the sinful nature living within each person, even within believers in Jesus, exposure to the light that Jesus brings is always unwelcome to our sinful nature, because the sinful nature always likes to try to hide its evil deeds and words and desires under the cover of darkness. But where exposure to the light is welcomed, and where repentance, by God's grace, repentance in our hearts leads to faith in Jesus, to faith in the love and forgiveness of all of our sins that he came to bring, there his love dispels that darkness from our hearts. The Apostle John also wrote about this in his first letter in chapter 1. He says, if we walk in the light as he, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Thanks be to God that the light of his love shines in the darkness of our sin-darkened hearts and of this sin-darkened world. And so today we praise and thank God for sending Jesus to be the light of the world. Wherever he is present, the darkness of sin and of the devil's temptations and of death must retreat from his light. He shed his bright light, the bright light of his love and forgiveness over each of you at your baptism when he put his name upon you and he declared you to be his own. He brightens each of your days with hope and with peace through his word. His word, which the psalmist writes, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. He blesses you with his spirit who calls and gathers and enlightens you and the whole Christian church on earth. He turns you from a child of darkness into a child of light. So arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. And always remember that this light is never produced on your own. It simply comes as a gift from God to us. We don't contrive or generate this light ourselves. Instead, we reflect that light that comes from God. We simply reflect his light to the people around us. Apart from Jesus, our reflective power, our power to reflect his light, fades gradually into darkness. And so we need to constantly be receiving and recharging our own light from the light that comes from God himself. We do that when we receive his body and blood at the altar in the sacrament of Holy Communion. We do that when we hear his word here in our worship service and in our personal devotions at home, when we pray to him and ask for his blessing upon us. We do that when we remember his blessings to us in our baptism, and we walk in the Spirit whom he has given to us. The closer we are through faith to Jesus, the closer and the more brightly we will shine and reflect with the light of his love. Just as Isaiah writes in our reading, then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will race with excitement and burst with joy. Sometimes in our lives there will be times of suffering when the light of God's love seems to be hidden, seems to be not shining into our lives. But at those times when our heart aches, we look again to the light of our Savior's love for renewal and renewed strength and energy. Being a child of light has a tremendous impact not only on us and not only even on those who are around us in our lives, but also on countless more beyond even our own immediate circle of friends and people that we interact with. As the light of the love of Jesus is reflected from us to the people around us, and then by God's grace from them also to the people that they reach in their own lives. And so to more and more people than we could ever even hope to reach ourselves, than we could ever imagine. This is the best way to be a witness for Christ and to spread the light of his love. We pray that God would bring through us into fulfillment this vision that the prophet Isaiah prophesies, that the light of the love of Jesus would shine beyond just these four walls of our church, that it would shine out within our communities, within our city, and all around the world, to bring people from every nation and tribe and people and language to the brightness of this light of God's love and salvation through Jesus. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there are obstacles that the devil, who wants all people to remain in darkness, will put up and try to block this light from reaching people. But God has already given us what we need to meet those challenges and to overcome those obstacles that the devil puts in the path of this light. And so as we observe Epiphany today, this festival of lights, let's affirm and confess that the true light of the world that gives light to all people has come. By God's grace, let us each receive Jesus and the good news of his love and forgiveness again into our hearts today. Then, as Isaiah calls us to do, we can truly arise and shine and live each moment of each day as children of light, as God has called us to be, bringing this saving light of his love through Jesus to the sin-darkened world around us. Amen.